In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady, Queen of the Missions, Saint Joseph, our patron saints and guardian angels. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You might say that the theme of the Gospel or of this Sunday is Preaching Sunday, because it really, the Gospel both and the reading from Saint Paul kind of indicate the importance of preaching the Word of God. Because the preaching of the Word of God is one of the aspects of our Lord's public life was that, as you hear in the Gospel, that he was, first and foremost, he was praying. He was a man of prayer. He went and entered into a quiet place or a deserted place and prayed. And then he went and cured the sick. You know, he was involved in an apostolate. He went out and did works of charity, mainly curing them of their illnesses, and then preaching, which was another act of charity, you know, that he was preaching the word. He was instructing the people in the way of how to be good. He was warning them of the things that were evil. He was trying to enlighten them as to how to get to heaven. So all these three things our Lord was doing in his public life. Preaching, first and foremost, praying, preaching, and healing the sick, doing acts of charity. And this is something that the church continues today, doing those three things. Both, you know, we see the priest especially is involved in that, in preaching, praying, and works of charity. He's to administer, you know, the sacraments of healing. You know, whether it be the baptism, healing people of spiritual infirmities, or, you know, this anointing of the sick, which is has both spiritual and could possibly have physical aspects of that. But the church in general has always been involved in the apostolate of caring for the sick. We know that, we can see there wouldn't be hospitals today in the world if it wasn't for the Catholic Church. That's where hospitals began. And so the church, being the mystical body of Christ, is engaged in all three of these activities: preaching, praying, of course, offering up praise to God, praying for one another, and works of charity. And it's no different that the church should be any different from our head in doing these things. But why it's so important for preaching is because even St. Paul says he has such a mandate to do that, being especially an ordained minister, being a priest, being an apostle. He realizes that this duty to preaching is imposed upon him. And he says, if I don't carry it out first and foremost because it is a duty that I have. That's why he says, if I don't do it willingly, it's still a duty. I have to do it because I'm a steward, and I have to take care of this. But if I do it willingly, then I also receive the, you might say, a recompense, a certain blessing that comes with that, that I am, you know, being blessed for fulfilling this duty even more so, because I am carrying out willingly what I've been in charge to do. And he saw that preaching the gospel is his first duty, to instruct mankind and those around him in the ways of God. You know, when we look at the last 50, almost maybe 60 years, with the crisis in catechetics that, you know, kind of swamped the church and people becoming ignorant of the faith, you might say it started probably with also a certain corruption in the preaching that was being given from the pulpit. You know, we went from being kind of a doctrine-centered preaching and instructing the faithful, which a homily or a sermon is somehow should impart sound doctrine, which is the first duty of a pastor, it says in Scripture, to impart sound doctrine. That we went from that to kind of, you know, this kind of caring and sharing and kind of a doctrine-free preaching, which didn't really it enlighten the people, it didn't instruct them, and therefore it didn't inflame their hearts. Because when you hear the truth, by its nature, it tends to also inflame us and give us a certain zeal to carry it out. And so we saw that because of the lack of maybe sound preaching from the pulpit, sound doctrine being given to the faithful, they also became rather lax in carrying it out and bringing it to the public square in their lives, and also being maybe lax in carrying out these works of charity, not feeling zealous for going out and ministering to their brothers and sisters in need. And so preaching is really, even Saint Bernardine of Siena says in one of his writings, it's in the preaching of the word of God that everything really takes place. It's where people are purged of their sins. It's where they're inflamed with the love of God. It all begins with the preaching of the word of God. It has a certain, because it's the living word of God. It's not just any word. It's the word that God has inspired by his Holy Spirit, and it still is living. It still has the power, just as it was first preached, to inflame people, to inspire them to do good, inspire them to want to go to heaven, and instruct and admonish them, as Scripture says. It's all important, the Word of God. And so we need to get back to maybe devoting more energy to the preaching of the Word of God. As priests especially, we have that duty, and we should... Maybe priests in the parishes are so overwhelmed with all the other duties that have come because maybe not so many priests to help them that they have kind of, sad to say, that the preaching part of their ministry has kind of taken back seat, and they need to devote more time to that. And maybe all the other things that they're involved in will take less of their time because have inflamed their faithful with the love of God and with the truth, that they will become more involved in helping them to carry out all these other tasks which are not the primary duty that they have as a pastor, but are also important, and they need assistance in doing that. But as priests especially, and as bishops even more so, our first duty is to impart sound doctrine. It is said in Scripture that the people sought out the priest to seek instruction. And that we, you know, even though we have all this information today out there, and internet and everything, they still are not getting the sound, they're not getting the truth that they need to hear. There's lots of information out there, but much of it is of no use for their eternal salvation and for their true happiness. So the priest and the preaching of the Word of God every day at Mass, or especially on Sundays, has to be a primary important moment, that when people are there, he has a captive audience, that he needs to impart the truth that they need to hear. And then it's not just that priests have the duty to preach, but all baptized Christians, in one way or another, have the duty to preach. It's imposed upon us that we cannot, as a Catholic, as one who says they're a follower of Christ, we cannot go through life without at one time or another, even at least probably once a day, you probably have the opportunity to speak about Christ, to speak about the truth, to enlighten someone who's in the dark about something. We all have an obligation to speak the word of God, to preach it in one way or another. And as you know, Saint Francis always talked about just preaching can be the good example we give. We cannot go through life being mute Christians. We can't be mute about the Word of God. And that's one of the things that it seems in our society today, especially in the West, they don't want you to talk about Christ. All under this guise of, we're going to offend all those other people out there who don't believe the same thing. You know, this is why, we don't want to celebrate and call it Christmas because it'll offend all those people who don't celebrate Christmas. Well, who says that because I celebrate Christmas that someone who doesn't is going to be offended? That's their problem, you might say, if they're offended, because Christmas is what it's all about. at Christmas time. That's why we celebrate it. All the, you know, and so if someone's offended by that, why would they be offended? I celebrate so-and-so's birthday today. Does that mean that everybody else's birthday who's not being celebrated today is offended? This is the kind of the ludicrous illogic that's out there that some people have enshrined as somehow more sacred than celebrating those things and preaching those things which are true. And we need to not let this idea that somehow that we can live in a pluralistic society that somehow we relegate everything to being the same. You know, this is probably one of the biggest sins of the modern age, is somehow think that you might have something that is true and that others don't have. You know, that the church has always believed that it has the fullness of the truth. And that's become a kind of a, in our world today, well, that's terrible that if you think you might possess the fullness of truth, don't tell that. You'll offend all those people who somehow think that they are, you know, that they have all the truth or whatever. Well, you know, this is where we have to get over that and still continue to preach. Not because we're somehow, you know, we're not Catholic because we've passed some kind of standard. You know, we're blessed. We've been received into the church because God's great mercy, not because we're something special, but we have this obligation to preach that and to live it and not hide it, either being mute or somehow thinking, oh, I don't want to offend somebody if I live my Catholic faith and exhibit it. No, if someone's going to be offended because you live the truth, then what spirit are they being moved by? Obviously, we're all made to know the truth. If we live our Catholic faith as we ought to, in charity and in truth, then we can only be something that is attractive. We're going to attract people to that. If they're not attracted to that, or they find it offensive to them, then it's not our problem. It's not something that we're doing. It's something that is probably whatever the spirit is that is moving them that is the problem. But we have to live the truth. We have to live it in charity. And it is one of the hallmarks of the early church that attracted people to them. See how they love one another. But then in their loving one another, they also were living in a way that was different than those around them. They saw that they were living good marriages. They saw that they were living as obedient children to their parents. They saw that they were living as good citizens of the state, but yet they were also living a life that wasn't compromised by those around them. That's what's needed in our world today. And of course, they were persecuted for it, and they were even martyred for it, but they didn't stop doing it just because of that. They had a certain conviction and courage. And that came all about because they were close and being imbued with, of course, the grace of God, and they were hearing it and believing what they were hearing coming from their bishops, their apostles, coming from their priests, and because they saw that it really did make a difference in their life. So as we look today at the gospel, our Lord said, you know, when they were looking for him, he says, I have to go to the other towns and villages. For he says, I have come, for this is why I have come, that I may preach there. That's why he came, to give us the truth, to preach the love of God. And that is still our same mandate, still commissioned, each and every one of us, first and foremost, the Holy Father and all the bishops and all the priests. But as I said, every Catholic, everyone who's a true follower of Christ has the mandate to speak the Word of God and to instruct those around them. Not out of arrogance, not out of somehow thinking we're better, as I said, but because we have been truly blessed, we have received this great gift and we want to share it with those around us. You know, it's just natural. If someone won, you know, received a great gift, and they knew that it was more than they could contain themselves, They want to share it by nature. It's only a selfish person who keeps something to themselves, but someone who's been possessed by the love of God, by his very nature, wants to share it and give it to those around him. And that shouldn't offend those around him, but they should want to receive that gift. They should be so happy to share in that great gift. We should share it and not worry about how it's being received in one sense. If we're doing it in the right spirit, it'll be given, and it'll be like seed being planted. We have to plant the seed. God will take care of the growth, but it's our duty to plant it and then to leave it in his hands to see how it is brought to fruitfulness. Praise be Jesus and Mary.